Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome to the program. I'm Andy. I may not sound like Andy, but I am.
Oh, you sound fantastic.
My voice decided to stay on vacation while I came back. Well, I don't know what happened, Steve.
Too much cheering on vacation. Yeah. Woohoo!
Yeah, I didn't yell at anybody the whole time, but anyway, thanks, folks, for tuning in. Appreciate Mello for filling in while I was gone, and I really appreciate Steve Dunham being here today from the Washington County Water School. Washington County School District. I just read a story about the water district, so that was in my brain, I guess.
Oh, that makes sense. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Andy.
Thanks for coming, Steve. Looking nice. Got the button-down shirt with the kind of a peach color going
on. The students are back in school, so yeah. I have the collared shirt. I've put the polos away. Well, I still may wear those on Fridays, though. Yeah. But, you know. It's fun. It's fun. We're back in school, so we're excited about that.
Oh, you mentioned Fridays, by the way. Last couple of Fridays ago, before I went on vacation, it was Friday, and I wore shorts to work. Nice shorts. They were kind of nice shorts and a polo, and I got the look from the boss.
Uh-oh.
You know the look? You know, like, what are you doing wearing that to work?
Because somebody's going to see you sitting at the radio desk.
Yeah, they could see my exposed knees. Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. Were you dress code appropriate then? For the district, probably.
I didn't know there was a cut. I mean, the shorts went to the knees. They were nice slack shorts. They weren't gym shorts or beat up holy shit. They were just.
Or basketball shorts.
Yeah. No, they were fine. But
oh, good.
So, anyway, Steve, thanks for coming. A lot to talk about with school starting yesterday. First of all, give us some numbers on first day of school. How many students do we have?
Well, it depends. If you include Utah Online, which is one of our schools, we have 42,000 children.
Now, just in Washington County.
Well, no, Utah Online is throughout the state.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So that's Utah Online included. If we take out the Utah Online, we're about 35,000 students. So, you know, you could hear the cheers of the parents as the children went back to school, except for those first-time kindergarten parents. Then there were a few tears from the parents.
I did that when I took my first son.
Hey, you know, we've all done that. And it is. It's emotional. It's stressful. And the kids handle it better than we do. But it was actually really fun to be at an elementary school. I went out to Hurricane Elementary and to watch the parents and to see that, I'm like, see, that's what we love, is parents that are involved in their children. They love their kids to death, and they just want to help them, and they want them to be successful, and we're grateful that they trust us, because we're gonna do our best to take the best care possible.
Any big incidents from the first day of school? Anything to talk about, or getting going again?
You always have little things, and when I say little things, buses. It's always a trick the first several days with buses. They're going to run late. Parents, please be patient with us. We're figuring out routes. We're figuring out new stops. With the change in the legislative mandate on sixth graders now have to be 2 miles away, we did change a lot of stops.
Which is weird. I thought it hadn't always been a mile and a half forever and ever and ever.
It has, but they've changed it so that if they're in a middle school now, and our intermediates are considered a middle-type school. I did the air quotes for those on the radio. You can't see me. But it is considered.
You should see him play air guitar. He's really good at that, too. Yeah.
But outside of an elementary school, which is K through 5, anything else has to be 2 miles away. Way or more. Wow. And that's the law. And so we did make some changes there. So there is some adjusting. It is going to take us a week or so to get everything fine-tuned, and we're working on it. So please be patient. And yesterday we did have, I saw a parent in Hurricane Elementary. He drove his kids and goes, hey, the bus never showed up. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. We'll get working. And he goes, no, I totally understand. It's first day. He was so awesome about it.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's what we really appreciated, is those that are willing to give us a little bit of grace will get the bugs worked out as quick as we can. So things like that. I think that, you know, the first day you always have a few students that'll kind of wander off and the parents are wondering where they are. I think we had that yesterday for about 30 minutes with a child, and the child was found, and it was just, you know, there, it's new for everybody, and so we're getting it into a routine, and as we build that routine, it'll get better and better.
We had while I was on this cruise, went on a cruise to the Bahamas. It was really great. My wife and I, just a fantastic experience.
That's nice. But
speaking of wandering off, so a girl had gotten in a fight with her mom.
Uh-huh.
And she, as far as you can wander off on a cruise ship, she went and found a dark corner, put noise-canceling headphones on, and disappeared. There's air quotes going, disappeared. Well, they went over the PA system of the cruise ship. They announced five times, well, Penelope, I'm not going to say her last name, but she please call the front desk because the mom was worried about her. She didn't know where she had gone. And because she had the noise-canceling headphones on, she couldn't hear the announcements. And because she was kind of in a dark corner in an area where and they didn't know where she was for, I think it was like six or eight hours.
Oh, so. Wow.
It was crazy, and they did eventually find her. But they made no announcement when they found her. So my wife, after a couple of days afterwards, she's like, I got to find out, honey. I got to ask. So she went and asked the security guy what happened to this Penelope, and they did find her. But, yeah, kind of one of those wandering off situations.
Yeah, that can be stressful, very stressful for parents, and especially, you know, parents with younger children, and we understand. But that was the first day. So, you know, the thing we're always encouraging parents, the community, is, hey, the children are back on the streets early in the mornings. They're in the crosswalks. Please slow down. Mm-hmm. Please. This is not a, for the next couple of weeks, please take extra time, plan extra time into your schedule. Don't be rushing to work. Don't be speeding. None of that. We do not want to have a catastrophe right now with the kiddos coming back to school. It's always stressful. It's new for everybody, and it's something to get used to. Let's give it several days and get used to the now. For the students, the traffic patterns, they have to get used to staying on the sidewalks, walking at a crosswalk, looking both ways, all of those little things that they haven't been doing. And as drivers, we need to be extra cautious and not be speeding. Be attentive to children that are going to be in the crosswalks, especially as it starts to get darker earlier. Our intermediate school starts at 7:44 in the morning. And so, you know, it's just barely getting daylight out. And so please, please, I encourage everybody to be cautious.
I was trying to, excuse me, stupid voice of mine. Anyway, I was trying to think of, is there ever a reason why you would speed through a school zone?
No.
Late for work, that's not a reason. Need to be some, got an appointment. I mean, really, are any of these things worth the idea that you might kill a child? No, there's no reason.
It is immensely selfish and just self-centered, and I can't even fathom the people that do that. You see the videos nationally of the people that do that, and I'm like, you fools, you know?
Yeah.
Really, that's what it comes down to.
And we're not talking about, you know, someone that, you know, I went 27 and yeah, you're probably going to get a ticket, but, you know, you probably maybe lost track. We're talking about people who consciously decide, at least I am, talking about people that consciously decide that whatever I need to be is more important than the safety of all these kids. And that's just dumb.
Or not stopping for the flashing reds on a school bus. That's both directions. You cannot pass no matter how wide the street is. It can be six
and
lanes.
That's important to note right there.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of people, well, the bus was way over there. I'm good.
No.
No, you're not. If that little stop sign and the red lights are flashing, you must stop.
Now, we don't have this, but if a bus were to pull over on Bluff and turn on those reds, traffic both directions must stop. Okay. That is a ticketable offense. So,
and dangerous one to ignore. I one time in my life, I was 16 or something, and it was the same situation. I was on a really wide road, like five lanes or something. Bus pulled over. It was kind of halfway in the shoulder. Turned his lights on. I was way over in the left lane. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to keep going. And I got pulled over. And the police officer said, well, why do you stop for the bus? And I said, he said, you know that law, right? And I'm like, of course I do. But he was way over there. And the policeman said, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And that was 40 years ago.
Wow, that's wild. That's wild. And we did used to have that challenge up in the Springdale, Rockville, and Virgin area where people would try and pass the bus when it pulled over.
Wow.
And so, but fortunately, our law enforcement is really good. They came on, they started following the bus, they started pulling people over and educating them about the law. So
it is day number two of school.
Yes.
Steve is a fortunately been willing to grace us with his presence, even though you probably have a million things to do today.
I actually forgot about today, and my reminder went off on my phone. I'm like, oh, yeah, Andy. Oh, no.
Well, I did something. So we got, there's a big, long story about our travel, because we were actually supposed to be home night before last. The plane kept getting delayed until to the point we couldn't get our connector, and we ended up staying in this really the Fleabag Motel, courtesy of American Airlines. I'm going to call them out on this one because they were awful. and then we went to our hotel. They had taken our bags, our carry-on bags. They're like, no, those are too big. You need to check them. And we're like, well, wait a minute. And we had people in line behind. And the lady was like, we're taking them. And finally they took them. And I'm like, after they took them, I'm like, my medicine was in there. And
oh, geez.
So, and I take some medicine for restless legs so I can sleep because I can't sleep without it. And anyway, and then the shuttle for the hotel didn't show up. And anyway, get back to the hotel after 12. We have a flight. We have to be back at the airport at 5 a.m. I don't have my restless leg medicine.
Oh, man.
It was just one of those deals. I'm just like, oh, my. So we ended up buying an Uber to get there, and the whole thing was just. And then in the morning, when the shuttle guy in the morning, he was driving like, well, do you remember, Steve, how you used to drive in high school when you were 16 and you're a new guy with a hot rod? And,
oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, that's how this guy was driving, yeah. Anyway, so we had quite the travel experience with it. But that flight got bumped a couple times, so we missed the connector again. But we finally did get a flight last night, yesterday evening, and got home. So I'm here.
Good.
But I'm tired.
I'll bet, darn it. You got time to get that energy drink in you.
Yeah, and I just, I don't know if you can hear this. Oh. My drink is empty, too.
Oh, so. Darn it. The double whammy.
We're going to make it, though. We're going to make it. And the new thing this year, it was even in the news, news headlines this morning online, the Guardian program.
Yes.
In the state of Utah. It has officially begun as of yesterday. Maybe, Steve, let's do an overview. What is the Guardian program? What does it mean? What does it do? I know, but I know there are some people that maybe haven't heard of it.
Sure. The Guardian program is a new law that was passed 2 years ago. They gave us 2 years to implement it, and it requires every school to have at least one, in some cases two, armed guards inside the school at any time a student is in the building.
Now, why one or two? What's the difference?
Depends upon population of the school.
Okay.
Enrollment in the school.
Okay.
And so...
And this is every school.
Every single elementary school. Yes. Okay. Charters, everything. Everything has to have this. There's no exemptions. It's state law. And so we began working on this right away. We began communicating it with our employees because it's not a paid position. It's voluntary.
Whoa.
And so it's something you have to want to do. There is a $500 stipend, one-time
it's
stipend.
It's not every month.
No, it is a one-time stipend, and it's essentially for you to acquire a weapon if you choose, or if you already have one, you know, whatever.
Ammunition, whatever.
Yeah. Yes. Training. But the guardians have to go through an extensive training, and our sheriff's department has been, I gotta say, phenomenal. Yeah. They have worked with the local law enforcement agencies to provide additional resources for training and support as we went through this with our guardians. And so we have, you know, essentially we have 56 buildings that qualify here in Washington County.
56 buildings.
So that is 112 guardians, and we are fully staffed with guardians. Now, according to the law, they have to remain anonymous. This is not something we can opt out of. These are some of the questions I've heard from parents.
Right.
We can't tell you who they are. They have to remain anonymous. And their role is that they are in the school. They are a deterrent if something bad were to happen. And they aren't required to respond, but they are encouraged to respond. They have some training to respond. And
let me put it this way. If they hadn't volunteered for this, they wouldn't be willing to respond. So
exactly.
they're going to.
And they have additional protections from the state should they respond. And so things of that nature. And the whole goal here for parents to keep in mind is we're trying to make the schools safer. And that's the end result. We want schools to be safe.
Let me ask you a few questions that popped up as I was going over this. Number one, can teachers, principals, lunch ladies, janitors, who are these people? Are they already employees?
They are in every case here in Washington County, they are already employees.
Okay.
Now, they cannot be a teacher. They cannot be a principal.
Really?
The legislature felt like teachers and principals already have their other responsibilities. Now, with an amendment to this law, teachers could go through the training, and they could be trained and certified but they're not to respond like a guardian because their responsibility is their own classroom. Now, here in Washington County, we've already had 60 of our teachers go through this training.
Wow.
And so, you know, in addition to the 112, we had 60 of our educators go through this training. And again, it's something where they've been through the training, they've been through the scenarios, but they are not to respond. They are to remain in their classroom and watch over the children in their charge.
Roughly, 60 would be roughly one per school.
Yeah, approximately.
Yeah. Okay. Now, one of the things that I think a lot of people were concerned about was let's vet these people. Let's get backgrounds on them.
Yep.
How much vetting was there? How
so
are
much.
These people we can trust?
Yeah, so much training. And in fact, there is all kinds of background checks, mental health screenings, as well as after every training scenario, the sheriff's department vetted each candidate to see how they responded, to see how they were doing before, during, after, all of these things. That's where I say the law enforcement part of this is so critical, because mm-hmm. our sheriff and his team who are over this have been so, so good. I can't give enough kudos to these guys for what they put our guardians through. And it wasn't just what the minimum that was required by law. Here in Washington County, they did additional trainings, additional scenarios, additional practices to help our guardians feel comfortable with the role that they have volunteered for.
Now, all the schools above elementary have SROs, school resource officers.
That's correct.
How does these new guardians fit in with the SROs? What's the relationship? Did the SROs kind of avoid talking to them during school because they're supposed to be anonymous?
No, well, it's you already have employees in the school, so they're going to engage just like they normally do.
Okay,
I would imagine, and our SROs are already, you know, in some of the buildings. However, they also often get called out if there is an emergency in the community close by a school. Sometimes our SROs are the first able to respond, and they will get called out until they can get back to the building. Okay. And so, yeah, that might happen in some instances. So it's important that we have the guardians available. And we do have some floaters, so to speak, some additional guardians that can fill in if one is out sick or if something of that nature, so we can be fully compliant with the law.
Now, say this. No, my voice is really not doing it. Say this again. The current guardians in Washington County School District, all of them are already employees.
All employees. So they could be.
You don't have some veteran, you know, 70-year-old guy coming in and hanging out.
No. Okay. Because that would be pretty clear of who's the guardian that is just hanging out there in the corner and, you know, helping reading with kids every day. And so they're all employees. They could be cafeteria workers. They could be custodians. They could be other of our support staff and others. But like I say, it can't be the principal. It can't be teachers. So
now, I have heard that Washington County, you guys did. We did a great job. We had a lot of people that were willing to do this.
Uh-huh.
Other parts of the state, not so much. Is that true?
Yeah, some are really struggling. Excuse me. Some of them are really struggling, and they've been looking to see what we've been doing. I know some districts are paying for private security. Some districts are paying for employees to do this. They're doing different things to get that to happen. I think that speaks a lot to the community we have, that our employees are saying, hey, I care about not only my job, but the children that are here, and I'm willing to step up and, if need be, put myself in danger so that they can be safe. That really says a lot about our community, and I can't stress that enough. Since I've moved here...
Wait, are you going to cry again?
No, maybe, but...
Maybe, okay.
Maybe. Since I've moved here in the last...
I always give Steve a hard time.
I know. In the last 9 years to watch... And Superintendent Bergeson used to say, it's the spirit of Dixie. Yeah. Everybody had to pull together to make things work down here. There is still that sense of community down here in Washington County.
I'm so happy about that, because with our growth, our tremendous growth, and the influx of people from not from here, I think that would be something that would be easy to lose. So I'm so happy that we're still...
We haven't lost it.
Yeah,
yes.
We're still doing
from
it.
My perspective, we have not lost that. I have seen that time and again, and I still see it as we work with different cities, with different law enforcement agencies. I came from another school district up along the Wasatch Front. I have never seen law enforcement agencies work together so collaboratively as I do down here. In 2017, when we had the bomb threat at Pineview High, to see the response, and we had All right, you got me going, Andy, for heck's sake.
Sorry.
We had rangers from Zion National Park, armed rangers responding to protect our children.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is really awesome. So with these guardians, because they're employees, they're already getting paid for their job.
For their
job,
they're
not getting paid to be a guardian, but they are getting paid for their job. Do you see, though, a point where we're going to need to bring people who are not employees to do this eventually? Or is it?
I don't think so.
No?
I think we're in really good shape. And again, it comes back to we have, I'm going to praise the quality of employees we have in Washington County School District. They believe in what they do. It's more than a job because they're not getting rich doing this. No. For heck's sakes, they're not. But they believe in what they do and they're committed to public education. They're committed to the children that come into our schools. These are damn good people.
Yeah. Do you see, Steve, any of them in the future going, you know, I don't really want this commitment anymore. It's just not worth it.
If they want, they're volunteers.
Right.
They're volunteers. And they may go through different life stages where something is too much and they need to say, hey, I need to step back from this. I don't feel like I'm in a place where I can do that. That's okay. We have backups in every school, for every school. We have floaters, and we'll work at finding new, recruiting new people if necessary. But, yeah, we have amazing, amazing staff members in Washington County.
112 official guardians now in Washington County, two per school. And I guess so you said there's some floaters, so maybe a few extra alternates or whatever you want to call them.
And you got to keep in mind, too, we have a fair number of retired police officers in our community. So you know, not only the training they've been through, there's some that probably have past training. They're very well prepared for what they're willing to do.
I'm so happy to be living in Washington County. I'm just so happy.
Me too. Me too. This is a great place.
Let's take a commercial break, weather break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the training involved, how long they train, what they trained for, what they trained on. We're talking guardians here, Washington County School District with Steve Dunham. Be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin, back from vacation. Thanks for being patient while I was gone. Steve Dunham didn't even know I was gone. But
no.
Yeah, I'm back, Steve.
I'm sure I missed you in spirit. I don't know what that means.
They had a show they had a show on the ship that you would have appreciated. It was America Rocks was the name of the show.
Oh, yeah. And based, that tune type thing?
No, it was just, it was a show, but their singers and dancers were top notch, and it was basically the best rock hits of the 80s.
Oh, that would be like, good.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, you know, and ROCK in the USA and all that stuff. And the one that cracked me up, they sang Born in the USA by Springsteen.
Uh-huh.
That was, people don't know this, that was actually an anti-USA song, anti-war, anti-USA song.
From Vietnam, yeah.
But now it's become
this patriotic anthem.
It's so funny because and the kid, you know, the I say kids because I'm 59. The guy singing it was probably 28 or whatever, and he had no clue that what that song really meant. All he was, I'm born in the USA, you know, which is good.
Yeah,
it kind of cracked me up. But you would have loved it.
Yeah, that would have been fun. Why don't you take me next time, Andy?
No.
You want to think about that?
Your wife and you can come together, but you get your own room.
Okay, gotcha. Right.
By the way, a couple of news items before we get back into it with Steve. Today is primary election day. That means that they'll cut down, for instance, the mayor, right? There are four candidates right now. They'll cut them down to two for November's election. The odds are it's going to be Randall and Hughes, but you never know. Aerosmack, he's making a lot of noise too. Maybe he sneaks in there. We'll see. I think city council, it's two spots open so that they'll cut it down to four. I think there are six right now. Mm. So yeah, just, Washington City, nobody is running against their mayor, so he's already in, but they do have a city council race. Hurricane's got a mayor and city council races going on. So today is just a day you can pare it down. This is, unfortunately, Steve, this is one of the least voted in elections. The odd year municipal primaries are very, very low attendance, low ballot that turns in and stuff. So,
you know, and this is a perfect example of you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
If you do not take an active role in your community and vote, that's all we're saying. We're not saying you have to go run for office, but please vote, take an active role, learn about the candidates. Well, then you get what you pay for. And sometimes the people that might be less desirable make it through simply because people don't educate themselves or take an active role.
The I call it the B&M rule, right? You don't have a right to B&M if you didn't vote. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Yeah. So, also in the news, the Utah Division of Water Resources approved $195 million toward a major water reuse project in Washington County. It's phase one of a $1.3 billion. Basically, it's approving four new reservoirs that will hold reuse water.
Okay.
It will be treated already.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be stinky water, but it'll be treated already. There are 60 miles of pipes, four new reservoirs, expanded reclamation facility, and an advanced water purification plant. I knew when the county leaders went out to San Diego and saw their plan, I'm like, you know, if it checks out, if it's a good thing, they're going to do it. And they're doing it. And it's a good thing.
Does it become secondary water, or does it become...
Eventually it becomes potable water.
It becomes water.
We can use in our homes.
So okay.
There you go. We were talking a little bit about the Guardian program and how it is now instituted in Washington County schools. Steve, I'll let you answer the first question.
Sure.
Is it safe to assume the SROs know who the guardians are?
It is definitely safe to assume that.
Okay.
The SROs know. They have trained together in many instances. And so, and like I say, the training's been extensive. So they know who they are. They know who they can trust. And so, yes.
That was kind of my question, though, is the training part of it.
Yeah.
And can we get into it? Do you know how many hours they were trained, what they were trained in, kind of not specifically necessary, but what areas they were trained in? And, I mean, was this live fire practice and stuff like that?
Live fire, but not with live ammo. Does that make sense?
Sure.
I think they put them through scenarios. There's multiple different trainings, and that includes mental health trainings as well as screenings after the scenarios to make sure to see how they're coping with the situation.
What are they called? Debriefing.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
To see how everybody's coping with what they've been through. I don't know the number of hours that was required by law. I do know that the sheriff and our local law enforcement felt they wanted to exceed that. And so they did additional trainings on top of what was required by law. And so I don't know the exact hours. That's really a question for the sheriff or our county security chief.
And I had him on a couple weeks ago, but I don't know that I asked that specific question. So I should have, I guess.
But yeah, it was really extensive. And they worked with law enforcement. They worked with some of our SROs, not all, but some. And things are good. I hope people feel safer about this. Seeing as we have to do it no matter what, we try to make the best out of it. More questions.
Here's one off topic. She wants to know, she said, how come Pineview Middle School is left out of any major updates? I assume they're talking the building, or I don't know.
Well, we just did a big update to Pineview Middle School this summer.
Said they are doing the outside of the building at the moment and it's still under construction, but we feel like Pineview Middle School in general is just left out. They get nothing.
Yeah, you know, that's sometimes what the community feels like. We plan updates years in advance. So everything we're working on now, like Snow Canyon Middle, was planned 5 years ago, and we worked through our plan in 2023 to change the funding mechanism for taxpayers here in our county so that we would never have to come back to taxpayers and ask for a bond again. And that was so we could start construction on Snow Canyon Middle and replace that building. That building was built in 90 or 91. It was built with a mindset from the board of, oh, we can do this cheaper. Let's do this cheaper. And so they cut some corners. We call it stick built. It was a cheaper construction method. And in the 35 years that building has been up, it has not lasted very well. No. It's also on the state's earthquake watch list. And so we knew.
By the way, that's not a good list to be on.
No, not at all. And so because of that, as we looked at what we needed to do a retrofit of that building, as we went in to bring everything up to code, we were like, well, it's going to cost us this much to bring it up to code versus this much to build a new building. We're going to replace it, and then we'll have a building that will have a 65 to 70 or more year lifespan, and we decided to do that. So, and that was planned years ago. So we recognize that with the boundary dispute that or change that just happened, a lot of people were frustrated over Pineview or Pineview Middle, feeling they're left out, they're left out. But those buildings were built to a different standard. They're really a solid, strong building. They may not have the eye appeal that some people would like to see. However, the district did and the board did just put a significant amount of money into fixing up the exterior and the interior and making that building look a lot different and giving it a big refresh. Now, I'm not to say they're done, but be patient. You know, we're working down this and it takes time. But Pineview Middle has had a big change this year. So for somebody to gripe, I'm kind of like, well, come on, work with us here.
And I will say this. I had five kids go through Pineview Middle School, and they all turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with it. But I was going to say his name, but there was a certain teacher that was tough. It was tough, let's just say. And it wasn't just one of my, like, I think three out of my five kids are like, this guy's tough. But yeah.
That's funny.
So, okay, back to the Guardians now. Let's talk about the anonymity of these guys. So you say the SROs do know who they are.
Correct.
The kids are not going to know.
No, they're not supposed to know.
And if, a high school might have what, five lunch ladies, seven lunch ladies?
Yeah.
A custodian or two or three?
Yeah.
Some maybe a maintenance guy. I don't know who else would be non faculty related.
Secretaries, any of that nature. Counselors, whatever.
And the kids aren't going to know.
Nope.
And they shouldn't know.
And it could be a combination of people too. It may be a part-time person that takes half the day, and a part-time person that takes another half of the day.
Okay.
It could be that combination. The law just requires that we have at least one guardian in the building at any time children are in the building.
Let's talk safety now. One of the things that kind of the people that when the first this guardian topic first came up is like, well, somebody's going to leave a gun laying around, or there's going to be a gun somewhere and a kid's going to get a hold of it, or maybe a kid steals one, or maybe a kid overpowers whoever has the gun and takes it away. Has all that been addressed?
I'm sure it has, because that's already been addressed, because concealed carry allows people to carry their firearm or their weapon mm-hmm. in a school building, but it must remain concealed. It must remain on that person. It's not something that they can put down. So we haven't had an issue thus far, and that's already been the law for I don't know how long, honestly. Decades, I want to say,
yeah.
Concealed carry law. And so we haven't had an incident like that in that long. So to assume that it's going to happen, you know, we could play what ifs all the time. What if this? What if that? Well, what if it doesn't happen, you know? And so far, they've been through additional training that highlights what they can and cannot do.
So you're saying, here goes my voice.
Yeah,
you're
good.
You're saying that this person may have already been carrying for the last 10 years. We didn't know.
It's very possible.
It's possible. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I think that's...
It's something to remember. And there's law and district policy. And district policy is very clear. If you're an employee and you have a concealed carry, you must keep that under your control at all times. So it's very clear. It's not saying you can put it somewhere else. It has to be under your control at all times.
Okay, non-SRO or non-Guardian question. What is the construction project on the east end of Dixie High School?
Oh, that is the new CTE building. That, again, is something that was had been in the works for more than 5 years. That was another building. The old CTE building there was also on the earthquake watch list of the state. It is older building. It is one of those that was really, really old. And that was something that we had planned at the same time, once we had the funds from this tax initiative in 2023, we would begin construction on that. The goal there is to replace the old CTE building. We're going to, I believe, make parking out of that area where the old CTE building is, which will alleviate some of the parking concerns that Dixie High faces.
Dixie has had some, yeah.
And then we've also worked at moving the JROTC across from that building, across the street from Dixie High, so that we don't have children crossing that street. 700, I believe it is.
Yeah.
That was something we've worked hard for because the board did not want them crossing anymore.
I've never been there in the morning because I'm always on the radio, but in the afternoon, like, what is it, 2:30 or something in the afternoon?
2:20.
That area is a nightmare. It's
yes. Tough.
And you have people on, you know, regular people in a hurry to get to work or get to their appointment or whatever, and then you got kids
crossing,
kind of not, you know, not using a crossing guard, just kind of jumping out in there, and people are slaying. Yeah.
We've had people call and say it's like the kids space themselves out, so as one almost gets off the curb because it's one of those crosswalks where they have to be completely
all
out of the street,
through, yep.
And when one is about to get off, another one comes in, and you're like, oh come on guys,
they're actually over there waiting. They're like, okay, he's
now you.
Last line,
now
I'm going.
You. Yep. Yes, it is. It seems that way sometimes.
We got to get a break and be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, as usual, with Steve Dunham here, we have to get Steve's musical thoughts. Steve, best solo artist of the 80s.
Best solo artist?
Solo artist, yes.
Oh, man, I don't know.
And don't say Madonna or I will kick you out of this room.
Oh, no, I wouldn't dare. Okay. Come on. Yeah.
Well, I knew you wouldn't.
I'm thinking immediately some sort of rock. My microphone is, my headphones are probably off or something. I don't know what I did. All right. Anyway, I don't know. Now you got me on the spot, and I can't think of one.
Mellencamp, maybe.
No, I don't care for him.
No?
I don't care for him at all. I would say Bruce, but he's got the E Street Band. But
yeah, well, Bruce is pretty much a solo guy. Even
honestly, Billy Idol. I really like Billy Idol.
Billy Idol guy, huh?
Yeah, I really did because I thought that was pretty good.
You know what's funny is I heard a Billy Idol song. Just a second.
Yeah.
And I was in I think it was a piano bar or something. I was in a group with people, and apparently there's a counter melody shout and that is vulgar. I didn't know that. I mean, listen to the song, like, oh, I heard this song for 40 years, and these people are shouting back these vulgarities. I'm like, holy cow, I guess I'm a naive person. I didn't know that. But anyway, did you come up with one?
Yeah, actually, as I thought about it, I'm like, there are a lot of them, and I shouldn't have been so long to respond. Phil Collins.
Oh, yeah. When he went solo.
Yeah. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Peter Gabriel. Yeah. I mean, two from Genesis, but they had phenomenal solo careers.
Mm-hmm.
Sting.
Yeah.
I love Sting.
Don Henley from the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's another great one. And, Paul Simon.
Paul Simon, yeah.
Yeah, he had a great single career. And so those are some that kind of popped into my head as you were talking, and it gave me a moment to catch up. I'm like, why did I not say Phil Collins? I love Phil Collins.
No, I'm a little older than you, but I was a big Huey Lewis fan. They say, well, Huey Lewis in the News. Yeah, but that was his band, but it was Huey Lewis, right?
Yeah, and that's true.
I really liked Huey Lewis.
Well, and it's kind of like Bruce. Bruce was like that. It's Bruce, but he had the E Street Band.
Right,
Yeah.
Clarence Clemons.
Yeah.
The saxophone guy. Anyway, all right. So we decided maybe Phil Collins was very early. How about best band of the 80s?
Oh, see,
you graduated what year?
89.
I'm 5 years older than you. So for me, it would be. Boy, I have a hard time saying anybody but Def Leppard. I love that band so much.
See, they would be in my top five.
Okay.
They really would. And when it comes to bands, I skew towards the hair bands.
Yeah, me too.
I love Cinderella.
Yeah. Oh.
I really do.
I am not going to admit that on the air, however.
Oh, come on. I saw you mouth that.
Yeah.
Cinderella, I like Tesla, and I like Def Leppard. Those three were so good. I can listen to all their albums all the way through. Oh, but Dire Straits.
Dire Straits. Mark Knopfler's birthday is today, by the way.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
80. I got to look it up. I think he's 80.
But Dire Straits has a sound that just carries you through everything. I could just listen to his guitar.
76 today.
Holy cow.
How old are we, by the way?
I know.
That song, Sultans of Swing, one of my favorites of all time. It came out in 85. He was 31. He's 76 now.
Okay, so you asked me for my favorite, and I can't list a favorite. But if I'm in a different mood, I would go America or Bread.
Okay. Old school, all right.
Those, Bread had the number one makeout album of all time.
Okay.
And it is the Anthology of Bread. Look it up. It was listed as the number one makeout album of all time.
Okay, here's a hard one. Worst band of the 80s.
Oh, jeez.
And it can't be a one-hit wonder. This needs to be someone that people liked, and you're like, why do you like them? I have one in mind already.
You do tell yours, because I can't think of one.
And you might like them, so I'm going to be careful. My sister loved them, and I was like, I would listen to their song. I'm like, it makes me want to kill myself listening to this.
Ouch.
Erasure.
I
hate those guys. I cannot stand it.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe. UB40 was kind of like that when you say Erasure.
Wasn't that them?
Yeah.
But anyway, we digress.
Solo artists of the 80s, also Howard Jones. When you say that, it made me think of Howard Jones. He was so, so popular.
I love that. What's that? I do love that one song of his, though. No, I can't think of the name. But the one where you can't don't quite qualify for anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, so you're saying you did or you didn't like Howard Jones?
Oh, I did like Howard Jones, yeah. Oh, that's right. We were talking about something I didn't like that everybody liked. I mean, Howard Jones would be fun. I never really liked Wham.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I thought George Michael was better by himself.
I was never a fan. Yeah. He had some songs, but it's like, I was never... How about wasn't a big deal to me.
The pop culture one, and people are going to get mad at me on this one. I never got Pee Wee Herman. I didn't understand why people love that guy.
My wife and her brothers loved that, and I never got. Really?
I couldn't figure that out.
But he was really a nice guy. I've heard other comedians talk about him.
Except for the pedo arrest later in life or whatever it was.
I've heard other comedians talk about how he genuinely cared about other people.
Yeah, that's true.
And so.
That's true. All right, we got 2 minutes left on the Guardians thing. So every school in Washington County has two Guardians.
Yep.
Every single school. Not just the SRO school, the older kids, but every school.
Yeah.
And if I were to go up to the principal, he would know, but he would be like, I can't tell you.
Yeah, they're not supposed to tell. By law, it's in statute. It's against the law for us to divulge the identity of the Guardians. They are to remain completely anonymous.
But you can tell me, just you and I over the radio right now.
Nope, I don't even know.
You don't?
No.
Really?
I really don't. I don't want to know. There's things that, you don't need to know. I don't need to know that. It's not going to keep me up at night.
Okay. Is that like Patriot Games? I don't play poker, sir. Harrison Ford.
I don't remember that in Patriot Games, and I love that movie. I love the book.
The president's like, you have a chip in the big poker game now. What are you going to do with your chip? He goes, sir, I don't play poker. Okay, nice.
There you go.
Anyway, okay, so Guardian system in place now, currently.
Yeah.
Are you afraid for your children? I don't think you should be. I think this is meant to protect your children.
Yes.
And I really believe, you tell me if I'm wrong, I really believe that they did their homework on these people and made sure that nobody's going to leave a gun laying around. Nobody's going to be flashing, hey, look how cool I am. I've got a .38 on my hip or anything. That stuff's not going to happen.
No, I feel very comfortable in the vetting that they did here in Washington County. Again, I give kudos to our sheriff's department, the people that have been put in charge over this, all of our law enforcement that have been involved. They have done such a phenomenal job on making sure the people are trained and feel comfortable in this role. And I feel comfortable that you should feel safer. You really should. I'm not going to say that we're going to be 100%. I don't think you can ever say it's 100% that we'll never have an issue. But we are doing everything we can to ensure that your children are safe at all times while they're in our care.
Awesome. I can't remember the guy's name. Sheriff Brooksby told me what it was. The name of the guy in charge of the Guardian program.
Dustin Kilpak.
Kilpak, there it is.
Yep.
Thank you for reminding me because I had forgotten.
Yeah, he's our county security chief. He is phenomenal. Shout out to him.
Yeah. Steve Dunham, Washington County School District. Steve, as always, thank you so much for being here, man.
Appreciate Play us out with some Def Leppard, Andy.
If I had it queued up, I would. I don't have any queued up right now. So, but it's the only song that made my mom cry. So.
Really?
We'll be right back. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening.